Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, December 19th, 2010, last weekend before Christmas. And so here we go. Merry Christmas. So here we'll continue on with what we did last week.
General Ryan, America started dying like flies over there. You know, and Ho Chi Minh got used to being a communist. I think they could have settled that out. But so they wanted an area to test germ warfare. And so they used Agent Orange and napalm. Agent Orange, we had methionine in it, which was developed, I mean, studied in Japan in the 50s as a drug that made you sterile. And the napalm gas, exploding like a jelly, it's like Vaseline and gasoline together, was used on the Vietnamese women as a psychological warfare agent to freak them out into not having more kids. So they ended up with freaked out women and a bunch of vets that came back with a lot of brain damage. So what did they do? They took it a step further. They decided, well, hell, if it worked over there, let's just do it to the American public, you know? How many of you are really afraid of med flies, you know? How many of you think when they tell you to cover up your car at night, they're going to attack one med fly? They're really concerned about one med fly, and they're going to gas your whole area with this stuff. And how many of you ever noticed that the helicopters are black that spray this stuff? And they're part of ad hoc. Ad hoc is part of the NSA, National Security Agency, you know. And there's a company called Evergreen that's involved. And you're going to see more and more of Evergreen because they're coming out through China right now. You see the airlines advertise Evergreen ships brought the goddamn drugs in for the CIA into the Long Beach Harbor. I know exactly where they landed the stuff. You're going to see a lot of this stuff coming out, okay?
I thought they were out of Oregon.
Well, they're over in Singapore. China, yeah. You're going to see, oh, yeah, you'd never believe all the things I've been exposed to. That's not what I'm here to talk to you about. I'm just sharing it. But it's all coming out, you know. Stuff that I mentioned 10, 15 years ago is coming out now. There's going to be a lot more. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There isn't it. Yeah, what's happening is, see, what I was telling you about the compression of the astral plane down the physical plane, what happens is people are not balanced properly. And when you have the compression of the astral plane down the physical plane, you know, first of all, you got to understand what the vibration, the vibratory frequency of atoms and DNA is. The physical plane, you have a solid, liquid, gas, ionic, and three etheric states, okay? Then you have the next thing, the triggering of mass consciousness to the acceptance of what these things are, the physical reality of the acceptance of society to give power to the dimension, okay? The only reason that we're not floating all out in space right now is because you all believe you're sitting on chairs in a room breathing oxygen. You've been trained that way. You're traditionally trained to believe that. You don't realize that the space between the atoms in this is tremendous. And when you do realize it, you can be like Sai Baba and you can just do like that and spirit, you know, ash will come out of your hands. Masters that realize the void in the atomic structure. So what happens is you are believing of the solidification as the masses. So what's happening now is eventually people will begin to understand if evolution were let to be unchecked, you know, and be able to grow at a happy rate, but it's not. So what happens is because it's not, the astral plane is pushing down the physical plane and the mental plane is coming down on the astral plane. So what happens in your mind, okay? Normally, the mental plane is divided in two. The astral plane is divided in seven. The physical plane is divided in seven. But the mental plane is divided in two. It's called the rupa or the arupa by the Tibetans, okay? The rupa part of it is logic. It's the part where we logically think that, you know, somebody somewhere along the way knew he got tired of standing up, so he took some wood and he shaved it this way and that, put legs on it. It's something you can sit down in a chair that relieves the pressure of the body and you can relax sitting on a chair. That's logic, how a chair got to be here. All right? Then there's the other side of being spontaneous. The other half of the mental plane is spontaneity. Okay? Starting a business, instead of using a flowchart and an accountant and a CPA, just say, we're going to make it happen and go out and doing it. Okay? That's a spontaneous way. All right? And that usually works the best in this time. Well, that energy is coming very, very pressured onto people. Okay? And people have electromagnetic systems. They have synapses in their brain. They have hormones going up in their brains. These hormones are orchestrated by electrical precursing energies. And the balance of EPCs is so far off, people are getting more negative, like we talked about earlier, than positive. So pretty soon, the electrolytes in the brain get so negative, okay, that what happens is on a certain day, you have what's called surface tension problems erupt, okay? If you're looking at your endocrine glands, of which there's seven, and they're going to secrete hormones into the blood, they're going to do it by vibration, sound, light, color, full moon, different planetary energies, those kind of things. If you were to look as a scientist from a 3D world at a person's body and say, what causes this change? Well, how can you measure it? Well, you can measure it by the skin resistance, the surface tension of the skin, it changes. Okay? So what happens is the planetary alignments are such on a certain day, and these people have got so many negative EPCs in them, and they could be anybody. It doesn't matter how sweet or horrible a person's personality is. All of a sudden, what happens is the surface tension gets tremendous. They have an ionic suffocation, and they just reach out and become totally violent and totally lose it. It just, everything, all these synapses just short. It's like a meltdown. It's the best way I could describe it. And that's, you know, that's because of vast deficiencies in trace minerals. The only way you're going to figure out what's going on is take mass quantities of trace minerals. And that's why I'm in that business now, because I'm seeing it as the fastest growing business in the world, and it's helping so many people, you know, understanding how the body works. Yeah, the guy in the back?
Can you overdose on trace minerals?
No. Your body eliminates them when you get full. I've never seen anybody overdose on them. It just gives off what you don't need, you know. Yeah, they have to be in a colloidal solution, by the way. Otherwise, you won't assimilate them. There's so many trace minerals coming from so many sources that people don't. It costs a lot of money to make the equipment to do it properly. To extract, there's an ionic process to extract it from the clays and things where they're stored. It's very expensive, and there's a lot of people around trying to cheat, and they end up putting out toxic minerals. So you've got to be careful what your source is. Yeah? Oh, yeah. You know why? You know, you see, people wonder why. You know, when you talk about enzymes, you're talking about potential hydrogen, pH factor. If I take one of my hands together like this and do this, and this happens to be grapefruit juice, and it's bitter because it came from bitter soil, it'll taste really sweet by putting my hands around it. Or if I take the pyramid and put it over here, okay? The acid-alkaline scale goes from one acid to 10 alkaline. The human body wants to see about 5.5 to about 6.7 pH. That's typical of the range of humans. People will vary a little bit depending on how yin or yang your system is, which is a whole other discussion. If you put any substance in your body that's out of the pH level, your body has to use up energy in order to balance it before it can digest it. If you put sulfuric acid in your mouth, for example, which is one on the pH scale, your body will have to give up so much energy it'll probably kill you in the process of detoxifying what sulfuric acid does when it gets to your stomach, if you have any stomach left. Or if you drink pure ammonia, which is the other side, your body will take up so much energy to digest that ammonia you'll probably die from the exposure to giving up that much energy. So that's why it's very important. That's why we use the pyramids, for example, like this over food. We have these little discs we make, put under the food, over the water. Because these things balance the pH. They put the pH exactly dead on for the human to consume it. But you shouldn't even put things in your body that isn't pretty much close to the range where it is in the first place. And most foods, most starch, most processed, refined sugars, are nowhere close. They're all alkaline or acid. Half the juices on the market, the fruit juices, are no good because they pop your insulin levels up. And you get into a whole other area of what are called autocrine and paracrine reactions. In other words, I could be a person, I can eat a damn egg, you know, and my cholesterol probably will drop. Somebody else could start eating an egg, and their cholesterol level will go off. Why? Because the autocrine-paracrine level isn't right in their bodies, which is a whole other level of biochemistry that we're teaching now. Just showing you there's so much to learn when you start getting into the body. You ought to read a book by Barry Sears called The Zone. It's in the health food stores. It's a little doorway. The first Nobel Peace Prize was given in 1982 for autocrine-paracrine work. Those of you who've been around me know I've been talking about hormones since I started talking about, and back in the 70s I was giving lectures on this stuff. All this stuff is coming up now, but we're way ahead of the game. You know, we're out there in the very forefront of technology. We've developed huge product lines now to support what we do. And I don't want to sound like a commercial, but I'm just sharing with you that this stuff is really good, the things we're really into, you know. Any other questions?
Well, there are no more questions, obviously. The audience vaporized. So what we're going to do now is put on another little ditty here that you're going to really enjoy from Creative Seminars. Ta-da! Creative Seminars. Here we come. And this little jewel will be queued up in a minute. Yeah. That was a good one. I remember that. That was a good lecture I did there. I listen to myself talk, and I remember stuff that I've forgotten. There's so much to remember, you know. So just a constant learning process all over again. So Dr. Bell will be coming up there in a minute. He's kind of milling around in the crowd like he always does first.
Sure he did.
There he is.
So how's everybody doing today? You find the right lectures here? We're not doing a whole lot of shows anymore. We built a really active website. And we're doing a lot of radio shows now. And I'm doing pretty much regular appearances on WLW. And we're syndicating that into 75 more stations. But WLW comes to here loud and clear in New York City. And you can check it on the 700WLW.com Eastern Time, 9 o'clock Sunday nights and Saturday nights. Okay? And they're kind of going after the old Art Bell show. I did an appearance on the Art Bell show about a week ago, or two or three, 4 weeks ago. But this show is more aggressive. And what we're doing, because of the success of this book, Rays of Truth, I know a lot of you have heard me speak before, and we talk about the great giant government cover-up, not only of our constitutional freedoms, but all kinds of health care issues, and how, on one hand, they're claiming, you know, they're going to lower drug costs, you know, as the presidential ticket. But at the same time, they're putting more chemicals and chemtrails into the atmosphere and the foods right now to kill more people, to cause people to have more drugs. Basically, what's happening out there right now is people are becoming walking zombies. I'm sure you're all seeing that. We got road rage, air rage is completely, all these different type of what I call rages these days, you know. The rage to be raging, right? And so we've obviously been aware of this coming, and we wrote about it in the Rays of Truth and what it is and how it works and how it's going to affect you individually. And this book has been out about a year now. It's doing well. And what happens is you begin to see what we talked about in these rooms for the last 15, 20 years. It's all out there now. You don't have to wait. It's here, and it's getting a lot worse. The Hay Kissinger depopulation policy is in full force. So that's why I recommend that you get on, listen to our radio shows. I'm actually producing some of them now. And what we're also doing in the radio shows, which I really can't do here, is, you know, I worked for the government for many, many, many years. And I have a lot of friends that still do, and I still keep in contact with a lot of underground things that go on. So there's a lot of scientist friends of mine and doctor friends of mine that would never have the time to come back to New York and do a show like this. A lot of them are too busy to write a book about it, but they're willing to come on my radio show. So I'm going to bring on the radio a whole new host of people, of personalities that you've never heard of before that are behind the scenes. Because I know in the normal New Age IE talk show circuit, everybody's pretty much heard everything at this point, and you're pretty much familiar with all the views of most of the authors because they've all been here one time or another. There's nothing really new and upstaging going on. So what we are going to do is present new and upstaging events. On our website, for example, we have live audio. We have live video on there. So you can, for at no charge, tune in to our Pleiadian music. I have a new album that I've just released. You can listen to the entire album on our website. We do a lot of sound technology. sound technology, we have what we call sound pollution. Sound pollution is very evident in New York. If this isn't the mecca of sound pollution, I don't know what is, okay? The opposite of this, it would be probably be some deserted mountain in the Himalayas, would be opposite of New York City. The only way I could, you know. But the bottom line is, when you get into sound technology, you get into a technology which I write about in the book, and that's DNA unwinding, or de-stranding of DNA, increasing the aging process and causing the body to go from alkaline to acid. And one of the things we do, we work a lot with, is the hydrogen atom in the body. The body is made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Okay? I'll write those down here. Oxygen, which is when you breathe, nitrogen, hydrogen, and carbon. Carbon, we're dealing with an octahedral shape of a carbon atom, which links up all things in the body. I know that my theories years ago seemed very advanced, but today they're very much accepted. And mostly we work with the hydrogen atom. The most advanced technologies to work with terminal diseases, and I've got a ton of clients now that I'm working with that came to me before they knew how to prevent cancer and all these different diseases. The most avant-garde in AIDS, the most avant-garde things that you can do to prevent it and to stop it once it's in your body is to work with the hydrogen atom. So all the new technologies are hydrogen atom oriented. So when you start studying the new things of the new millennium, that's where the technology is going to lie. Not only in the biochemical arena, but also in the electrical arena, and also in the what we call the electrical precursing arena of life. These were all the modern technologies. And you have to be abreast of them, because the sophistication of all the pollutants that are out there are mind-boggling. Things that you could have never even thought existed before now exist today. And they are being put in fuel tanks of jet engines, jet aircraft, sprayed all over the skies. They're pushing the Nile River virus. How many of you are familiar with Dr. Lynn Horowitz in here, Emerging Viruses? I'm working with him right now as we speak on a new book, but our time has been delayed because the Marburg virus, which is known to you as Ebola, has been re-released again by the government. It's starting to spread. So he's been running around the world putting out fires for the government. Governments are calling him now, foreign governments, like in Niagara. He's got to go down there real soon. And I talked to him a lot about this because we have been coalescing in the same subject realm for years, even before we met. But he's physically out there going to these governments because the governments themselves are freaking out. Because they, you know, these little small governments have no control of what the World Health Organization is doing and what these big secret government operations are all about. And it's getting to be very, very big business now. It's something that you need to really begin to understand. One of the things that we've been talking about for years is a thing called the nuclear receptor. The nuclear receptor is an electrical precursing device. If you were to look at your body, we could call this the world of biochemistry, which is probably, biochemistry is probably what 90% of this whole festival is all about, this whole gathering this weekend. Things to do with biochemical changes, whether it be herbs, whether it be vitamins, whether it be foods, whether it be natural foods, organic, inorganic, it's all about biochemistry. But biochemistry means nothing unless you get back up the chain a little bit and get into the science of electricity. Electricity is where we go into negative ionization, those kinds of things. For example, the body reproduces cells at the rate of 50 million per second. But if you're breathing a negative environment, if you're breathing positive ions like we probably are in here, your body can't reproduce 50 million cells per second. So when your body starts getting stressed by its reproductive frequencies, the immune system starts to fail. It goes on a downward spiral. First, it starts picking up different things in the body, proteins that are alien to the body, what are called antigens. And then if it cannot release them, if it's further driven down by lack of electricity, lack of ionization, these antigens become trapped in the body and they become pathogens. At the point that they become pathogens, you've got the seasonal viruses, the colds, and all that other stuff. And now you've got to turn your immune system around. But if your immune system is going down because of the lack of electricity in your body, negative ions, all the vitamin C and all the chromium picolinate in the world is not going to help you. It's not going to do anything because you have already surrendered your body to a virus, an invader, that's stealing your DNA and making it its culture. Whether it be a flu, whether it be something more serious than a flu, you've lost control, and your immune system is helpless to do anything about it. So the science of electricity becomes very, very important. And that's where negative ionization came in. That's how I got into building these things years ago. Then we back up to the most important source now because of the types of energies that we are experiencing. A few years ago, our bodies were not high enough of frequency to be so sensitive to what we call electrical precursing energies, or EPCs. Now, what EPCs are, the subtle energies. We call it stress. We call it job stress, noise, pollution, you know, insecticides in food. All of these kinds of stresses are on our bodies. And over a 24-hour time period, if we don't have more pluses than minuses here, we're going to have a real problem down here in the biochemical level. And so, therefore, the negative ionization just becomes part of the problem. We need to do a lot more than that. And that's where we got into these types of devices, which you see now, which are being looked at universities. People like Dr. Glenn Rain at Stanford are saying, this amazing new technology is here, and it's a non-Hertzonian technology. When he says non-Hertzonian, what he's saying, it's non-electromagnetic and non-electrical in nature. So therefore, normal measuring instruments don't measure the changes. The kind of changes that can be measured with instrumentation on devices like this have to be biofeedback-type devices, electromyograph-type devices, where the body acts as a diode to give an electrical response from this, i.e., electrical precursing energy. And it becomes more critical in people over 30 years old. For example, at 30 years old, the organs, the liver, the kidney, heart, all the critical organs in the body at 30 years old start to shrink at the rate of 5% every 10 years. So by the time you get to be 50 or 60, now you can see if you haven't taken care of yourself, these organs are much smaller. You don't have the liver to deal with to get the toxins out. Now you can get into a serious tailspin and have a very miserable, you know, elderly experience. Or you can take care of yourself and have a great experience as you get older and live life, and rather than exist in life or suffer through life. So the choices become yours. And this is the kind of work that we do. And I'll demonstrate this thing because some of you have seen it, some of you haven't. It's very interesting how what it does. Can I get somebody up here for muscle testing? Okay, she's already ready to go. Come on up. Yes. Back in the back there. The baseball girl's here. All right, so put your right arm out, this arm out. Okay, now make a fist. Now, when I push down, resist. Okay, resist. Feel your strength. Okay, now relax. Now, this is a typical environmental day in New York. This is blue. All right? You guys want to smell this? This is about the same as when you get outside the door. It's pretty strong. Yeah, it gets the job done. Now, put that in your other hand. Okay, now put your arm straight out. Now resist. Put it up to your nose. You got to breathe it like you normally would. Yeah, just take a whiff of that. Now resist, resist, resist. Is that it? No strength. Okay, relax for a second. Now when you go into a precursing device, and you've never worn one of these, right? Okay. Put your arm back out. Now put that back up to your nose. Resist. Yeah, you do now. Resist.
Wow.
A lot stronger. So people like to breathe glue and wear receptors. I can... Works out really good. You can take that out. Thanks.
What number is your booth?
Hmm?
What number is your booth?
I don't have a booth. I'll be, when we finish here, I'll be right out by the elevator. I've got a few books, but you can get the book. I'll sign the books, and we'll test you for a receptor. We brought a few with us if you're interested. We don't even have a booth here this year. We don't have the time for it. Yes. Well, this is a complete full-spectrum device on the body where that's kind of limited to certain areas. Okay, this has a patent on it for what it does, that doesn't. Those are a waste of time. I don't want to put products down, but this is the first that came along. This was, came out in 1981, and they're all over the world. Yeah, go ahead.
What about cell phones?
It has an effect. When you start dealing with radiation, it's a very good question. What I'll do is I'm going to show you something here. You deal with what's called auric offset. In your body produces electricity, and it ends up in the brain, in what we call electrolytes. Okay? When I worked at the University of Michigan years ago, we had people that were in Hiroshima and Nagasaki that were near the bomb when it exploded and had very little effects of radiation damage. Okay? Then we had people 30, 40 miles away that had tremendous effects of radiation. So that would be like one person having a cell phone in their head and having no problem with it, and somebody else in the same room with a cell phone, and they're going to have a problem with it. It's like a secondhand cell phone. Okay? So what we found is this. Why do some people have radiation? Today, the big concern is not cell phones. It's really ultraviolet, because ultraviolet destroys the immune system, and there's so much of it now because the ozone layer has been destroyed by high-flying jet aircraft. So what we found is if you had electrolytes in your brain, it produces large amounts of electricity, which then transmits through 72,000 major wires called nadis in the body, producing a field around the body, which in later times became known as the auric field. It's an electromagnetic energy that can be photographed, scientifically measured. This is not something that's in Never Never Land. It's quite observable. And we found that if the electrolytes were high enough in the body, outside forms of radiation coming in would conform to the radiation that the body is producing, and therefore it would have no effect on the body. Other times we found that people had low levels of electrolytes in the body. They had a much weaker aura, and these people, when electromagnetic radiation such as cell phone frequencies, 900 megahertz, came in, it caused the body not only to collapse its aura field, but it produces a physiological effect called free radicals. The free radicals then produce, you know, a situation in the body of too much acid, and now you're susceptible to cancer. Okay? So it's a sequential thing. It's not just like cell phones are good or cell phones are bad. You've got to learn to processing, and that's what they don't seem to teach in the health industry about processing electricity. And to enhance that, this is how I got into mineral formulation, but you need, as the Japanese that were, you know, negated the radiation-affected bombs, they had large amounts of fotai, ginseng, and gotocholin in their bodies, herbs. Now, it's only recently, because I've been formulating in countries all over the world, it's only been recently that the FDA, in the last 5 or 6 years, has allowed us to put ginseng and in fotai into like trace minerals, because I've been manufacturing trace minerals now for 15 years. We've got some of the better ones on the planet, which you can check out on our website and find out all the information. We got into trace minerals when a guy by the name of Hubbs, who was a retired rancher back in Utah in 1928, came down with a serious case of arthritis. At the turn of the century, the problem wasn't cell phone radiation or any kind of radiation or radioactivity like we have today in our water supplies. In those days, the big problem was arthritis, okay? And people died of pneumonia, just like HIV patients do when they start taking their drugs and introduce AIDS into their body. They die of pneumonia. The pneumonia becomes the final killer of the body. So he was living with the Ute Indians in Utah, and he said, well, I've got this arthritis, my joints are, you know, swelling up, what can I do? And the Indians took him up to a stream, and they put him in a stream of water, and the water he drank and bathed his body, and the arthritis went away. So he followed the stream up to a artesian well, and he looked in the artesian well, and he was a retired geologist, saw this red clay, and realized the red clay was a 2,000-year-old trace mineral source, which was fairly biologically active, not like the Great Salt Lake types that will light a light bulb but are not biologically active. So being biologically active, they started mining the stuff and extracting it into water, and it became known as in the health field as trace minerals, a multi-billion-dollar industry today. And the material is called leonardite. And there's only certain parts of the world, France, Utah, and certain places that have what they call an active leonardite with less toxic material. Some forms of red clay they don't have organic lead. They've got other kinds of lead that are non-organic, and you've got to be careful where you get your trace minerals from. There's so many things. If you go to a health food store, about 80 to 90% of the stuff on the shelves is no good, okay? Trust me on that level. And the unsuspecting public, if you ever go to a like an NFA show or a big health show where the vendors are selling products to the health food stores, you'll see a greed convention. That's what it is. Because there's so much money in it, it's like going to a greed convention. It's not like being here where people actually communicate. They're just interested in making money and pushing their trade. Second thing that I ran into, you know, in the health food industry when I started formulating is a lot of people in a lot of different countries didn't realize how their governments were taking prime ingredients out of their nutritional life. For example, in this country, we've been husking everything. All the grains have been husked. They strip all the good stuff off, so you end up with a grain which really has no, you know, no real value for the body. In stripping off the husks, they pull out what's called the nitrilicides. Nitrilicides are vitamins B12 through B17. Nitrilicides are cancer preventative. Anything that's carcinogenic in nature in the body, the nitrilicide will destroy it. And of course, Laetrile became one of the great case in points. And B15, Ernest Krebs Sr., who I used to work with at the National Health Federation, found B15 caused the heart not to ever fail. Heart attacks became, you know, became pretty non-existent. But then, and then they, on top of that, they started taking away. The government came in and tried to get synthetic vitamins made into drugs so that they could write prescriptions and you wouldn't lose your freedom of health choices. And that would have really destroyed you. Okay, because if you take a synthetic vitamin, which a drug company would produce, versus a natural, and put them together side by side on a Corellian camera, like they have around here, to check your auras, you'll see that after a little while, the natural will lose its aura field, and the synthetic will have no aura in the first place, will absorb it. So that means the synthetic vitamins, if you put them in your body, will steal the nutrition out of your body, further destroying your life force, and all those kinds of things. So this is why they wanted to do this. Further take you down. Well, the way they get away with that is in the, you know, grocery stores. You go in there and you see vitamin A fortified milk, vitamin D calcium fortified dairy products. They're all synthetics. If you read what the stuff is, it's all synthetic. So rather than preventing osteoporosis by drinking milk, you're actually going to get osteoporosis. Instead of having heart problems, you know, producing, you know, getting rid of heart problems, you're going to have more heart problems using the butter and stuff like that with that in there. That's why it's better to go organic if you're in dairy products. If you take a 9-month pregnant woman and she crosses a state line from, say, from here to New Jersey, and she's got breast milk, she could be arrested by the FDA for transporting a radioactive substance or milk across a state line and transporting a foreign substance, DDT, across a state line. That's a fact. Because after World War II, we dropped 2,000 atomic bombs on the surface of this planet, between 800 in Russia alone. That left cesium-60, strontium-90, and all kinds of radioactive isotopes in our water supply. And it's very, very much in our water supply. Then we added MTBE to our fuels, our gasolines, jacked up the price, and that's down in the water supply now. In California, if you have a white car and you don't cover it up during a fog, the next day that white car will have black spots on it that won't even come out. You have to scrub them out with a brush and cleanser because that's a poison from MTBE. Okay? So, I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. Where do you stop? You don't. What you have to do is you have to build your system up, your immune system up, to where you can process all this stuff, because it's not going to get any better. And what you're going to have to do is wait for these idiots that legislate all this stuff in to just die and get out of the way. Because it's going to get everybody that doesn't do, you know, ounce of prevention is worth a lot. Yeah.
What about generic medicine as opposed to the original?
It's all bad, okay? I'll tell you how bad generic stuff is now. This was the topic of our show the other night on the radio. It's generic corn, generic vegetables. Right? The joke about this stuff is it doesn't even need an insecticide. It's built in. The bugs won't even eat the stuff because they know it's poison. They won't get near it. And the stuff won't even grow if you use manure, coffee grounds, organic stuff. Won't even grow. You got to use chemical fertilizers to make the stuff grow. Okay? It's unbelievable. We had this on the show the other night. We should see the response we got from the belt down there in the Midwest. Yeah.
But, how can you tell whether or not when you go to the grocery store,
it's almost impossible. The only way you can go, you have to go organic. It's the only way you can do it. You know, it's the only way. So is Medicare when you get on it if you don't have it. Yeah, you know what? You learn to eat very wisely.
If you join a food co-op, you can buy organic fruits and vegetables for less money than you pay for regular fruits and vegetables in the supermarket. If you join an organic food co-op, you will pay less money for organic than you will for regular food in the supermarket.
Yeah, the co-ops are really good. We have them all over in California and Hawaii.
I belong to the one in Brooklyn, which is the first food co-op.
Yeah. It's a lot more expensive there than it is now in the States. So it is all about buying it and then the people get cheaper.
If you eat normal strawberries, they put bromide in them. Bromide. Okay. When I was in high school chemistry, they had this bottle. And in this bottle was a thing called bromine, and that bottle was inside of another bottle. And I asked the professor. I said, "Well, why is that bottle in there?" And he says, "Because that stuff is so deadly. If it leaks out in the room, it could cause damage. We got to put it inside of another bottle in case of the first bottle." That's what they did on strawberries. Okay. Now, on tomatoes, you get arsenic. You get arsenic, okay? Yeah, well, it doesn't go away. That's why we got into the technology, for example, of the nuclear receptor. This is one of the things that we learned about you know, in electrical precursing energies and the respiring of DNA. First of all, DNA is a genetic instruction. Before you're born, you have 46 base pairs per turn of DNA, okay? So if we go 0 to 46, that equals 100%. Okay, what happens is when the fetus and the mother reaches 46 base pairs per turn, the baby's skin is at optimum, the organs are functioning at optimum, that sends a command into the mother's uterus and says, "Get the baby out, baby's ready, baby's all done," you know? Baby comes out. So baby comes out, baby unhooks umbilical cord, takes first breath, now has 34 base pairs per turn and first breath. So baby has lost 25% of the lifespan in the first breath of air it takes, leaving the human placenta, which is the isolator between the mother and the unborn child. When you're 18 years old, right, it's 18 base pairs per turn, you've lost 50% of your life, and you haven't even gotten to 21 yet, okay? Everybody's celebrating 21-year-old. You've lost 50% of your life. 18 base pairs per turn. Biochemistry, how does it affect life? Well, we know right away. At 18, DHEA production starts to go down. By the time you're 22, 23 years old, you know, DHEA is gone. You know, you can't digest sugars anymore. They start turning into fat. 30s, it gets worse. When you're 50 years old, if you don't take care of yourself, you got 6 base pairs per turn. So not only have your organs shrunk on your 50th birthday, but you got 6 base pair turn. You're 94% in the grave. Okay, what can I say? So that's why it's important to look at this stuff and turn it around. Yeah, that's genetics. Yeah, hey Kissinger. I wrote about it in here. You know, when this is over, there's a few of these books out here at the bookstore. And if you don't believe anything I say in here, there's plenty of references in the bibliography in the back to go prove it wrong. Hey Kissinger. Alexander Haig and Henry Kissinger were publicized behind it in 1981 in the March issue of the Executive Intelligence Review magazine, which all that documentation is in the book, okay? Poisons, you know, introducing things like we're talking about in the supermarket. All kinds of poisons, poisons from the atmosphere, from jet aircraft fuels having contaminants in them. Ballast ion, which was back in the late 40s, Japanese found out that malice ion was good for birth control because they were concerned about it right after World War II. And on top of this, for example, your body's 5% mineral, and that controls 95% of metabolic functions, okay? But most people, when they start getting a runny nose or a sore throat, they run down to the health food store to get vitamin C, which is a collagen. It's the worst thing you could put in your body at that point. You need to put chromium picolinate in to get your immune system curved back up where it will fight off the attacking virus and recover. You can recover consciously your DNA, so it's no longer going towards some kind of an illness, but going towards a wellness situation, okay? So you need to put chromium picolinate in it, in your body. Now, here's what happens on the world front when I formulate, okay? If I go to Japan, which I have, formulate over there, I write a formula up for some company over there, or maybe, you know, and we're going to make it here in America, and I have to present it to the Japanese FDA, the equivalent. They'll look at Fotigen, Singo-Cola. Well, they know that's good, right? So that's no problem. But as soon as they get into B complex and chromium picolinate, no chromium picolinate is allowed in Japan, and the B complex is highly limited. Absolutely no control, you know, no, you cannot put minotrilicides B12 through 17 in anything in Japan, okay? Check that. Now, I go to Germany, and I work with a German